Blog Talk Radio.
If you love somebody, better tell them why they're here. They just may run away from you. You'll never know what went well. Then again, it just depends on how long the time is left for you. I've had the highest mountains, I've had the deepest rhythm. You can have it all, but now keep moving. I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world.
It is the week of training camp. We're here. It's less than 5 days away. Training camp opens July 31st, Friday at 10 a.m. Very lucky few have tickets to get in. Should be exciting. It's always great to see the very first snap of the season. And for those that have not been there, congratulations. It's going to be great. And a little bit of a tip. When you get there early, people are all going to be standing around trying to figure out where to sit, where to stand. You're going to be on the berm, that big grassy hill. Go ahead and look for a spot maybe toward the middle and towards the middle top of the hill. You get very close. That could be fine for late when you're doing signing autographs. But it's pretty hard to see if you're right up against the guardrail there when you go in. So what I'm going to do this week is roll and preview every day, cover a different type, different position or position groups on the team. I'm going to try to cover at least two per day. I'm going to make it relatively quick, and we'll see how that goes. So we're going to start today with we're going to cover wide receivers as well as interior offensive line, guards and centers. Those are obviously key positions for this team and some exciting competition available there. So let's go ahead and start with the receiver position, which this year is just stocked full of really interesting players with interesting stories. And I think you really have to start at wide receiver with a guy that's considered a tight end in Jimmy Graham. This is a guy that played wide receiver on over two-thirds of his snaps with New Orleans and is as comfortable playing outside as he is playing in. Definitely more comfortable as receiver than he is as a blocker. So, you know, this is going to be a guy that could take snaps away from someone like Jermaine Kearse, opposite of Doug Baldwin. It's somebody who could take snaps away from Doug Baldwin in the slot. One of the interesting things to watch there is how Jimmy Graham's going to line up next to Doug Baldwin. Are they going to be side by side, one's on the in, one's on the out? Who's on the inside? Who's on the out? And, you know, when they go to their base, you know, their base offense, who's doing it? Who's at what position? That's going to be a key thing to watch. You know Jimmy Graham's going to be out there. You know he's going to be the number one target. What we don't know is where he will be and where the other players will be in relation to him. Doug Baldwin. I mean, Doug Baldwin's another sure thing in terms of he's going to get plenty of snaps. He's going to be a starting receiver. He's going to be all over the field. So I think you're going to see him, you know, as the leading receiver coming back from last year, get his opportunity to do that once again. And then I think you're going to see Jermaine Kearse most likely as the guy opposite them, and we'll have to see how he's playing, where he's getting in terms of reps. You know, does he start splitting reps with a guy like Chris Matthews, 6'5", 220 pounds, who had a great Super Bowl, had not caught a pass before there, but is a very good on special teams. Jermaine also is a contributor on special teams, which helps his case. Jermaine can also play all three wide receiver positions, which is a huge value for him. So I think that's going to be an interesting battle to watch. And then, of course, you've got Tyler Lockett, highly thought of, drafted early for the Seahawks. They packaged a bunch of picks up to move up and get him. primarily because he is a special returns, a special return specialist. We'll go with that. And he, you know, he's 5'10", 180 pounds or so. And this is a guy that to me looks a lot like John Brown of the Arizona Cardinals, who is also pretty small, diminutive. It's an early Monday morning, folks. Player, but John is able to play on the outside as well as in slot. He actually gets a lot of separation outside, has a little bit of Steve Smith in him in terms of just, you know, a little bit of power, but mostly he's just a shifty player. And that Lockett is not a power player, but he certainly seems to get separation. The same ability that allows him to break away on returns, I think, gives him the chance to shake defenders on offense. He's also good with the ball in his hand. So, putting him in positions where they used to play someone like Percy Harvin will be interesting to see. Is he going to be getting bubble screen? Is he going to be coming around the line, jet sweeps? I'm kind of just curious to see how they try to use him and how they try to take advantage of him. My guess is they're going to start more gadgety with him and more like sub packages and specific plays that he comes in for. But I'm wondering if he's just going to force their hand as one of their better receivers and demand time on the field, similar to the way John Brown did for the Cardinals last year. From there, you've got Ricardo Lockett, who obviously had a role to play last year as one of the best special teams players, but is only an okay receiver. And you just wonder, he's 29 years old. Is that really where they want to invest in a roster spot? I think there's some danger of letting go some promising younger players in order to keep an older player whose primary value is on special teams. But they have to find another gunner. If it's not going to be Ricardo Lockett, who's it going to be? And we'll have to see the way that they play that out. Beyond that, you start getting into the rookies from last year. You've got Douglas McNeil. Sorry. We'll say Douglas McNeil, but you get into Kevin Norwood and Paul Richardson. Kevin Norwood, number 81, formerly of Corin Robinson's fame. Kevin Norwood, 6'2", 200 pounds, really nice receiver, good route runner, great hand, can get off the ground, good athlete. He's not very sudden. He's not going to break away from anybody, but he does make the plays that he's given an opportunity to make. And he had a high catch rate last year. I'm just wondering, he battled injuries in training camp, did not get a chance to really show what he could do. He's going to have to compete. There's a lot of competition this year, but he has the talent to stand out as just a reliable, dependable receiver who's young and on a rookie deal, and that's valuable. His challenge is going to be finding where he fits on special teams. What does that look like? How does he do it? That'll be something to watch. So far, we haven't seen a real perfect role because he is not special teams is a place for athletes. And I don't know that Kevin Norwood stands out, in particular as an athlete in and of itself. Paul Richardson, early pick last year, lots of talent, started to come on towards the year, end of the year, got injured in the playoffs, tore up his knee, has been recovering pretty nicely and quickly, and is, I think, seeing some time on the field. The key there is going to be, is he going to be on the field? Because as soon as he steps on the practice field for training camp, he is not eligible for the PUP, the physically unable to perform list, to start the season. Everyone's assuming, as well as myself, that they're going to use that PUP list to stash away Paul Richardson. If they're not, then that's going to take up a roster spot. So as soon as they think he's close, he's going to be on the field. That's going to take away a possible PUP option. They could put him on IR, but realistically, that means he's really fighting for a spot. And if he's fighting for a spot, he's going to get one most likely. That's going to push out someone else. That could push out a Kevin Norwood. That could push out, for sure, a Ricardo Lockett. That may even push out a Jermaine Kearse. So that'll be something to watch. Other guys here, you've got Cason Williams, who's a local favorite, and coming from University of Washington, certainly a great leaper, great athlete. He's a guy that, if he wants to make this team, Jermaine Kearse showed up on special teams. That's how he made it. I think that's what Taysom Williams has to figure out how to do. Maybe he becomes a future gunner. You know, maybe he shows off what he can do as a track athlete, and finds a role that way, at least earns a practice squad spot. Kevin Smith played really well last year. He's a practice squad guy. He's back again. He's 6 feet, but you know, really is sudden in and out of his breaks, got open a lot, made the most of his plays. So number 17 is Kevin Smith. Number 18 is Taysom Williams. So those two Washington guys are right next to each other in numbers, and will be fighting like mad to get a spot on the roster. Best of the rest to pay attention to there is really Douglas McNeil, who I started talking about. So he is number 19. 17 is Kevin Smith, 18 is Taysom Williams, and 19 is Douglas McNeil. McNeil's 6'3", 200 pounds, great athlete, very solidly built. Reminds me a little bit of Ricardo Lockett. Can get off the ground. He's older. He's 27, so he's not a young prospect. But we'll have to see if he can really stand out with his height and with his athletic ability. And then could he be the guy that pushes on special teams because he's got that athletic ability? That's going to be interesting. So there's some other guys there. B.J. Daniels, number 5. Deshaun Fox, number 14. I think those guys are going to have a really hard time even making the practice squad, but we'll see as time goes on. So let's transition and talk about interior linemen. Probably the most important questions for this team revolve around what's going to happen with that offensive line, and the most important questions on that offensive line are on the interior line. This is a Seahawks team that lost Max Unger. They lost James Carpenter. And they're looking for replacements. So let's start at the guard position. And what you've got there is the presumed starters, which is at left guard, you're thinking it's going to be Alvin Bailey. At right guard, it's going to be J.R. Sweezy. And I think the interesting thing there is we've only really seen Alvin Bailey play a few snaps in the guard role. He's largely played at tackle. He's been a backup left tackle for Russell Okung. But now he's switched to guard. That's where he played in college. He played both left and right guard in college, was known as a run blocker in college, but has been better as a pass blocker in the pros. He's certainly a better pass blocker than James Carpenter. Definitely take a look at him in one-on-one pass drills. I think he's really solid there. Be curious to see how he holds up as a guard in pass rush drills, because he is really, you know, he's well-footed on the outside and well-equipped to take on edge rushers. Curious if how he handles those heavier, stronger interior rushers. He generally doesn't get those reps in 1v1. He's usually on the outside, but this year I'd expect he's going to be on the inside, going against Seahawks interior rush linemen. Sweezy's a guy who should be in his prime. 26 years old, last year of his rookie deal, has really played well. And now I think we're going to see what he can do as, you know, one of the veterans on this line, and a guy that had some pretty amazing blocks in the Super Bowl last year. And then you get into the draft picks for this year. You've got Mark Lewinsky, 6'4", 310 pounds. He'll be number 63 for you. One of the rookies drafted the fourth round this year by the Seahawks. He and Terry Poole were both drafted right next to each other, both primarily to be guards, although Terry Poole played tackle in college. The word has been that he's going to be tried at guard. We'll see if that stuck or if they've moved him back out to tackle. Glowinski's a really athletic guy, I'm excited to see. Anyone named Glowinski just sounds like somebody who's fit for Tom Cable's offense as a guard. They're going to have to try to find a place where he can make an impact and develop. Other guys at guard, Kona Schwenke is 6'4", lighter, 290 pounds. He's more like a J.R. Sweezy size-wise, but probably a movement guard, someone that can get to the second level. Someone who earned an invite to training camp with his play in rookie minicamp. I think you also have got a guy in Patrick Lewis, who's interesting. I'll kind of get to him in a second, but played center a lot last year, but I think he's going to have to make his way at guard this year because he might not be in the top of the center competition. Kevon Milton is a big boy, 325 pounds. He's 25 years old. He's in his third year out of Louisiana Monroe. And Milton is a player who stuck around on the practice squad, so they obviously thought highly enough of him, keep him around. We'll see where he fits in the depth chart. Will Perkak, I don't know if I'm saying that one right. He's number 74, 6'3", 300 pounds. Will be in the center mix as well. We'll see, but he's a guard center. And, you know, realistically, I think he's going to have to make his way at both positions to have value. And I don't know where he's going to be. It's going to be interesting to see on the depth chart. I think he's lower on the list. And then you've got guys like Christian Tsakoli, who was said to be drafted to play center. He's listed as a guard on the roster. This guy's 6'5", 302 pounds, a rookie, seventh-round pick who's just got all sorts of athletic talent. For those that follow things like Spark scores, he's off the charts there, one of the top guys in the draft that way. Was a defensive lineman, is a new project for Tom Cable. Most likely you're talking about him being a center, making a practice squad player because, you know, let's look at it. I mean, he's not a J.R. Sweezy. He's not going to play, likely going to play guard. He's going to have to play center. He's going to have to know snap counts. He's going to have to learn how to snap the ball, shotgun, all those different things, do line calls. It's tough to do as a rookie coming in at center, let alone a defensive lineman who's never played the position. So expecting that of Tsakoli, I think is a little unrealistic, a little unfair. I just want to see if the guy's got enough potential to stick around, hopefully earn a practice squad spot, and develop and be someone that could stand out next year, maybe during sometime later this year. They decide he's moved quickly enough that he should be brought up to the show. He's number 53 for those that are kind of keep track of that stuff. And then we get into really the core of the center position. So we mentioned Will Perkak or Perkak. I'm going to go with Perkak. I think he's toward the bottom. Then you've got Drew Nowak. So you got a couple of acts in there. Drew Nowak is 62, 6'3", 292 pounds. He's 25. He's been around for a little while. He's also a guy that switched to offensive line and has had a chance to kind of train under Cable. Was said to be splitting reps with Lemuel Jean-Pierre at center with the first team in training. In OTAs when they ended. We'll see how that if he's still with the number one when training camp breaks. Lemuel Jean-Pierre is the odds-on favorite. He's the veteran. I think they want a young player to play well enough and show out well enough to earn that spot because they want a player that can develop and grow and that they can keep on a rookie contract or at least a cheaper contract. Jean-Pierre is on, I think, a one-year deal. You know, he's 6'3", 300 pounds, definitely is a known quantity, has been with the team for a number of years, is proven at guard, has played center and spot start. Is an okay player there, but at the same time, you know, there's something about him that's never quite been the guy that they want to really invest in. So you feel like there's a limit, a ceiling to what he can do. I think it would be a great thing for the Seahawks if one of the other young players steps forward and they feel good enough about him. So Drew Nowak would be one of those guys. Patrick Lewis is another. He's 6'1", 311 pounds, and he's 24 years old out of Texas A&M. This is his third year and played a number of starts last year. I think he was the starting center in that Arizona game in Arizona when they ran for, you know, all sorts of yards and had a great offensive performance. So I think that the offense can function with either Lem or Patrick Lewis in there. But I think we're going to have to see which one of those guys really is best equipped to handle the full center duties. And I think, you know, now that we've seen Drew Nowak step up, we'll see if he's a player in that group, and also how are they going to do that? So are they going to rotate who plays with the starters each day for the first week of training camp and see which of these guys really stands out, which of the ones is the one that they want to give that spot to? And then separately, you know, this is just me. I brought this up before. I'm kind of curious if Mark Glowinski, I think he's talented enough. They obviously put a draft pick into him. He's athletic enough. He can get to the second level. Is he a guy that finds his way into the mix in the center spot because they are interested in trying to find a spot for how you get this guy on the field? And maybe they give him a shot at center. So that's one to watch. Terry Poole is listed as a tackle. I didn't talk much about him. I'm going to leave him there, but we'll see if he plays guard or tackle. He's another one we haven't heard much about. We'll have to see how that plays out. So, with that, that's today's episode of the Hawk Blogger Daily Training Camp Preview. I think we are going to hear a lot from all these players. I think it's going to be a great first day of training camp. Tune in tomorrow. I'll cover another two position groups. I'm going to be covering them in detail, and I'd be happy to take questions. You got them on Twitter or online. Always good to talk to all of you. So with that, have a great day. And as always, go Hawks. Damn it all, but now keep moving. I'll take it in, but don't look down. I'm on top of the world.